Chapter 21. I have nothing to do with you. Yelena mocked her loudly in anger, what has that got to do with you? You think you could threaten me forever with that? You can sleep outside tonight. Anyway, you're dressed so slutty, there'll be plenty of lechers out there who will take you in. Yelena then slammed the door in her face, as Callista had expected. She had already anticipated that she wouldn't be able to even get past the front door. Callista turned her head to see Wyatt with mixed feelings written all over his face and smiled, "My dear cousin, looks like I have to trouble you to send me to hotel." Wyatt immediately lost his temper, "You mean my aunt usually treats you like that? She shouldn't treat you like that. I'm going to knock some sense into her." Callista pulled him back, her expression very calm under the dim light of the street lamps and the slight eye drizzle. She didn't appear angry at all, only a little tired. "Don't give me any trouble. If she knows one purposely let you hear all that, I won't just get chased out of the house." She was not strong enough to fight everyone on Yelena's side, but one day she would finish all of them off. Her calm demeanor made Wyatt's heart wrench. He couldn't believe what a hypocrite his aunt was. For almost 20 years, his aunt had always talked about how hard it was to be a stepmother, and everyone had believed her. But the reality couldn't be further from the truth. He couldn't imagine how Callista lived her life in this state. He finally couldn't bear it anymore and said, "You can stay at my place." Callista chortled, "You want to be a lecher who takes me in?" Wyatt angrily exclaimed, "Callista." But Callista had already turned towards the car. "Send me to the city center." She didn't want to have anything to do with the Lynns. After getting into the car, Callista told him clearly where she wanted to go, but Wyatt continued to insist that she should go to his place, thinking that it was dangerous for a beautiful girl like Callista to stay by herself at some hotel. Callista saw that he wasn't budging, so she said, "Wyatt, have you thought about what would have happened if I didn't meet you today?" Wyatt stopped talking. "Let's imagine for a while." Callista's eyes sparkled as she said gently, "Let's say you came to the Shang house, then Yelena told you that something did happen between those two men and I, and for the sake of the Stafford family's reputation, you had to make sure the two men never talked about what happened last night. You would have thought in your heart, ah, this girl has brought trouble to the Staffords again, and then be very disgusted with me. But you would think that Yelena was doing this as a kind and loving stepmother, then you would have made use of your authority to do as she says, right?" Wyatt didn't say anything because it was possible that he might have done exactly that. He thought about how ungently his aunt had called him over to the Shang house, and given her real attitude toward Callista, she might have plotted to do something like this and blame everything on Callista. Callista smiled, "Then today you interrogated those two scoundrels, and they told you the truth, but what did you tell me?" "You said there must be a misunderstanding somewhere, and that I've misunderstood Quincy." Wyatt didn't know how to respond anymore. Before this he would have said confidently that there was definitely a misunderstanding, but now he wasn't so sure anymore. "Enough. This proves that you are relatives with Yelena and Quincy, but you are not related to me," concluded Callista. Wyatt started to panic and stopped the car at the roadside, and said with all seriousness, "That's not true, you are my cousin too." "How interesting, suddenly I'm a cousin. You never thought it mattered before, but now you think it does. Hasn't that sentiment come a little too late? Callista laughed coldly and leaned towards him, or, you have some other intentions and so you've changed your attitude. That's nonsense. Wyatt retorted with a serious face. Oh. Callista came even closer and he could see her long eyelashes curling upwards were like two little brushes, masking her real feelings and making her look even more dreamy. The fragrance from her filled the air around Wyatt again, and he could hear his own heart beat faster and faster. Suddenly he heard Callista's cheeky laughter as she said, "My dear cousin, your face has turned red." Suddenly Callista put an arm around him. Wyatt got a shock and stiffened himself against the driver's. His face only grew redder and redder, and he suddenly lost all ability to speak. His entire head could only think of how she was so close. Was she thinking offhand? Suddenly there was a clicking sound, and it turned out Callista had found the button to unlock the car doors. Once the doors were unlocked, she withdrew herself, and replaced the cheeky smile earlier with a cold that. 1 AM not related to you by blood at all, and we're definitely not friends. Don't you dare follow me. Callista got out from the car immediately. Wyatt put up a hand to stop her, but then gave up the idea. He had never thought that Callista and his aunt were such odds with one another, she even despised the entire Lynn family. Somehow he felt miserable. He hadn't done anything to Callista, why was she so upset with him? Just because of those biased things he said in the afternoon? After getting out of the car, Callista bought a full set of clothes from the sportswear shop along the road, then found a small motel to stay for the night. She didn't have anything else on her, so she had to find somewhere that didn't require any ID. After she had washed up and changed into a new set of clothes, she finally felt peace. There was a moldy smell in the room, but she didn't care. She had stayed in places 100 times. Worse than this, so this was not bad already. After lying down for 10 minutes, she got up again, because there were still things she hadn't done. No matter how tired she felt or how difficult the circumstances were, before she was captured and paralyzed, she would always practice the basic energy techniques that her grandfather had taught her. She managed to live till 31 in her previous life, and had a good understanding of the benefits these basic techniques brought her. She even suspected that she managed to survive the K virus and contained it within her body because of these basic techniques that she practiced, as well as the herbal baths she always took. So she must not lose these basic techniques, she told herself. The movements were much like many other martial arts, but this particular set of moves were difficult. Callista started practicing since she was 2 years old, but only finally felt the energy W was 10 years old. Since the energy needle technique required the energy that was based on these moves, she had ha practice every day to make sure there was always sufficient energy in her body to execute any advanced moves. After practicing for a while, Callista's back was entirely wet with sweat. Suddenly there was a bang. Someone had banged her room door up open. Callista got a shock and turned her head to look. A man in black jumped into the room, leaned against the door with all his strength to keep it shut, then slowly slumped down onto the floor and didn't move. Callista endured the ache in her body from the practicing and cautiously approached the intruder. She knew security in such places were poor, but didn't expect it to be this poor. But the intruder had not fainted. The moment Callist approached him, he frowned and looked up. "You stink, get lost!" screamed, "He'd shoot her." Chapter 22. Let us do something else. Callista took a step back in shock, not because he looked threatening, but because of his face. Jared. She couldn't believe her eyes. What sort of dumb luck was this? She just walked out to find someone who would greatly help Quincy in the future? Suddenly, there was a knock at the door. Jared narrowed his eyes and forced himself to stand. He quietly threatened Callista, "Chase them away, or else I'll kill you." Then he moved aside so that Callista could open the door. Callista took a deep breath and cracked open the door. There were policemen standing outside. "Erm, do you need anything?" Callista asked timidly, and the policeman saw that it was only a young girl inside. The most senior officer asked gently, "Little girl, have you seen a man in black?" Callista shook her head, "I just came back from a run and was about to bathe, so I didn't come out." The police officer saw that she was indeed wearing exercise gear, covered in perspiration and stank, so he believed what she said and walked away. The moment Callista closed the door, Jarity pushed her against the door. "Listen, I'm going to sleep here tonight. You'd better not play games with me, otherwise be prepared to die a horrible death." Callista's face turned white, and she stared at him for a while before finally speaking. "If I listen to you, will you give me money?" "Money?" The man raised an eyebrow in surprise. He didn't think Callista was so bold as to strike a deal with him. This situation was getting more interesting. He curled his lips and asked, "How much do you want?" $200,000. Callista looked down at his leg and said, "The bones in your feet are out of line, and there's some vascular congestion in your lower torso. I'll treat your injuries and let you sleep here for $200,000. How's that?" Jared Juka stepped back and smiled slyly, his handsome face reflecting a glint of evil. "Okay, I'll let you treat my injuries. If I get well, I'll give you $200,000 tomorrow. But if I don't get well, I'll sell you to human traffickers. How's that, little girl?" Callista pulled up the collar of her jacket, looked down and said calmly, "Prepare $200,000 then. Move aside, I'm going to bathe." Jared found her reaction a little strange, so he pointed her gun at her, and even though he was feeling weak, he managed to muster some strength and shouted, "Don't try anything funny. Give me your cell phone." Callista glanced back at him, "I don't have one." He laughed coldly. "Who doesn't have a cell phone in this day and age? You want to do a body search?" Jared frowned at this and spat out, "Who wants to search your stinky body? Take off your clothes, I want to inspect." Callista looked at herself and realized she was really quite smelly because the practice session earlier had pushed toxins out of her body. She slowly lifted her arms and took off her jacket, revealing a tank top inside. The jacket fell to the floor, and the tight tank top inside showed off her thin but muscular upper body. The exercise leggings she wore were also very fitting, so they couldn't hide anything, and couldn't hide her figure either. Even though her stepmother had been very stingy with her, but because Callista was willing to cut anything and always worked out, she was thin in the right places and curvy in the right places, she had an excellent figure. An evil glint flashed in Jarrett's eyes as he quietly said, "Keep stripping." Callista smiled. Did she still need to strip further? It was obvious that these clothes couldn't hide anything, and he was purposely making things difficult for her. So she walked over to the bathroom and exerted a little strength on the stainless steel door handle nailed into the door, pulling the handle out of the door easily. The cheeky smile on Jarrett's face immediately changed to a guarded face and he raised the gun. Hands again. He could see the strength Callista had from this one action, and this was no simple girl. "Who on earth are you?" Callista laughed. "Don't be so nervous." She waved the handle in her hands, then flung it to the floor, and it landed with a loud thud. "I was just removing the lock from the bathroom door so that you would have a peace of mind. The bathroom walls are also made from frosted glass and so you can make out what's happening inside. If you see anything suspicious, you can come in anytime. Don't you think I'm being very sincere?" But the action earlier was a silent threat to the man in front of her. "Come in if you dare." Callista didn't care about Jarrett's darkened expression and slowly walked into the bathroom, closing the door behind her. She turned the shower on, took off her clothes quickly and stood under the water to rinse off. A lot of toxins were released earlier, which was normal. Her grandfather had said the more toxins, she also felt that her senses were heightened after that round of practice, and so Callista smiled gleefully and didn't bother thinking about the stranger sitting outside, and continued with bathing. She was able to keep calm in this situation because she knew what she was capable of, and Jarrett was badly injured at the same time. If he tried anything, she was able to let him have a taste of the pain she went through in her previous life. Callista used both hands to push her hair back, closed her eyes and curled her lips into a cold smile. "Could you call this meeting with Jarrett Fate?" She hadn't gone to look for him yet, but he had come knocking on her door already. The Sinclairs were an organized crime syndicate, and while they had stopped most of their illegal dealings by this current generation, they still maintained control over various people, and had eyes and ears everywhere. In her previous life, part of her terrible suffering was thanks to Jarrett. Callista lifted her head and let the water hit her forehead directly. It seemed like this was the only way to suppress the hate that was taking form in her heart. In previous life, after becoming successful, Quincy forced Callista to be her assistant to cover the fact that she didn't know anything about medical science. Jarrett had heard Quincy was a famous doctor and wanted her to save his younger brother. Of course, Quincy had no idea about how to do it. In the end, Callista was the one who saved his brother, but this was credited to Quincy, who used her new benefactor status to make Jarrett do many things for her. After seeing Quincy's true colors, Callista quarreled with Quincy and escaped from the house, and almost made it overseas with her professor. But Jarrett caught Callista himself, and she cried and told Jarrett that the person who saved Heather was her and not Quincy. Jarrett wasn't sure whether to believe her or not, but let her go. However, on the day she was due to leave the country, he sent people to capture her and passed her to Quincy. Everything happened too quickly. The data that she wanted to use to make a comeback was taken away from her, and her right hand that she used for acupuncture was incapacitated by Quincy, who was afraid people would find out that Callista was the one who saved the life of Jarrett's brother. How should she deal with Jarrett? Callista continued to let the water flow as she closed her eyes. If it weren't for him, she would have escaped overseas, made a comeback, exposed Quincy, and everything else would not have happened. Destroy something he loves the most? He seems to love his younger brother very much. At this moment, Jared was finally unable to remain standing and sat down on the bed, his eyes still fixed nervously on the bathroom, in case Callista did any tricks. He thought of how she yanked the handle out to threaten him and laughed to himself. How he had fallen from grace, such a small girl could be a threat to him. Jared shook his head and tried to remain alert. He knew that people like him had to stay alert at all times, otherwise they would definitely meet a terrible end. Chapter 23. I am going to treat your injuries. He had relaxed his stare earlier, but now he focused once more on the frosted glass of the bathroom. He was really impressed. This girl was very bold indeed. She had the guts to not just strike a deal with him, but she even broke the bathroom door lock and then went ahead to bathe in front of a dangerous man. What was her confidence based on? Kung Fu. But he had a gun. The sound of the water stopped, and Callista walked out dressed in a bathrobe, her hair untied. The steam from the bath made her pasty white skin slightly pink, the white bathrobe tied tightly around her waist, her long and fair legs now exposed, and her waist-length hair was wet and slightly wavy, making her bright eyes sparkle even brighter. The situation earlier was very tense and now Jared found that this girl didn't look too bad at all. Her figure and face was enough to heat up his body, and her harmless yet intense aura made him unable to tear his eyes away from her. Jared thought to himself, he wanted to bring this little girl back for some fun. Callista had no idea what Jared was thinking about. She looked at him for a while, then smiled, "You put your gun down now. I'm going to treat your juries now." So Ken Jared saw that Callista was very serious when she said it, as if she really knew what she was doing. After thinking for a while, he put the gun down gently at the head of the bed. "How do you intend to treat me? I don't see any medicine here." Jared's smile was very sly, and his long phoenix eyes stared holes into her, yet there was an unexplainable coldness inside, proving that this man was definitely not a good man. Callista smiled calmly, "I don't need medicine, just take off your shirt." Jared hesitated for just one moment before swiftly removing his shirt. His figure wasn't too bad, perfect six-pack abs and various scars of different sizes, one could s was a very manly body. There was a large bowl-sized bruise on his abdomen, and the broken blood vessels spread in all directions over his olive-colored skin. It seemed that the policemen earlier were not capable of causing such a serious injury. Callista calmly analyzed the situation, told him to lie down, then walked over to the side of the bed. She held her hair clip in her hand, and Jared realized she was taking out a needle from her hair clip. His eyes narrowed, his body reacting faster than his thoughts. The next moment, the dagger in his hand rested on Callista's neck, his entire body tensing up. "What are you trying to do?" Callista threw the hair clip to one side and waved the needle in her hand. This needle was very thin, about 4 inches long. It looked very sharp but it was very soft, so it would be hard to insert this needle if Jared remained so tense. She laughed as if she didn't see the dagger on her neck, "I just want to perform some acupuncture you, but you're too tense." Acupuncture. Jared frowned and continued on look suspiciously at her. He slowly moved the dagger from her neck to the belt of her bathrobe and narrowed his eyes. I see you're still young, so let's not play with needles, let's do something Eeb. Jared was all ready to cut her bathrobe belt with his dagger. You're not wearing anything inside, right? Callista used two fingers to hold onto the dagger. If I were you, I wouldn't do anything. You have internal bleeding in your abdomen, and if you don't stop the bleeding now, tomorrow you'd need insert tubes to get all the blood out. Jared tried to move his dagger, but Callista's two fingers were holding it very tightly. His expression changed, then he let go of the dagger and lay back down on the bed. I'll have to trouble you then, Callista smiled as she threw the dagger on the floor. You're welcome. Both of them had friendly expressions on their face, but there was a weird atmosphere between them. Callista didn't bother about him anymore, her finger guiding the needle above his abdomen. Jared looked like he didn't care, but his body instinctively tensed up because the abdomen was one of the most vulnerable parts of the body, and he had to guard against Callista at all times in case she tried anything funny. Callista slowly closed her eyes and started to focus. In a flash, her aura suddenly changed. Earlier she was a little mysterious and flirty, but when she opened her eyes again, she looked de-serious and her eyes sparkled much brighter than before. The seriousness on her face made Jared strangely begin to relax, and he began to believe she really knew what she was doing. Callista put her focus on the end of the needle in her hand, and didn't notice the change of Jared's mood. Acupuncture was really all about inserting needles into acupoints, and this would in turn help to both improve what was good for the body, and rectify what was wrong in the body. But Callista was different, because the energy needle techniques that she learned could transfer the energy within her to the patient through the needle, and this energy could be considered giving the person a new lease of life. As such, all energy needles could only save lives, and could not kill. Energy needles could also help one to reverse aging and increase lifespan. The fact she managed to reach 30 in her previous life despite the virus was sufficient proof of that. Callista took a deep breath and stopped thinking about the past. She held her hand up high and prepared to insert the needle. In her previous life, this very miraculous skill became her downfall. But in this life, it would become her trump card. It was like a sharp sword in hand that would help her win every battle. In a flash, the silver needle was inserted like a screw into his abdomen. Callista only used one needle and one ache appointment, but she sent all her active energy swiftly into the ache appointment that the needle had punctured. This was one of the energy needle techniques, Draconia Touch. Jared could feel something different. His cold eyes now looked confused, because the heat he could feel in his abdomen wasn't coming from him, it was coming from that one silver needle. Callista panted for a while. She was glad that she had just finished her practice session earlier and gathered all the energy already. Otherwise this one needle would have caused her worn-out body to collapse. The bruise on Jared's abdomen started to fade at incredible speed, the feeling he had was as if this one needle had given him vitality and stimulus that he had never felt before, allowing him to heal himself. It was just like he could heal himself. He was healing from the inside. Jared suddenly thought of something, and stared hard at Callista. He had visited excellent acupuncturists before too, and they were also very highly skilled. Cases like his mother's headaches. found relief only after doing monthly acupuncture sessions, none of the other medicines or treatments had worked. But no matter how highly skilled they were no match for this girl, who could heal internal injuries with just one needle. Her needle not just stimulated his acupuncture, but also inserted vitality. This ability was certainly rare. Callista had already removed the needle and moved on to treating his leg. Fortunately, his ankle was merely twisted, and just needed to be snapped back in place. Jared sat up and saw the woman down on one knee and inspecting his ankle at the end of the bed, and started thinking about what sort of history she had, and whether she might pose any threat or if she had any ulterior motives. Had, who did you learn acupuncture from? He had thought about it and felt that it was safer to get treatment from her teacher instead. He was afraid she wouldn't tell him, so he added, "Tell me who your teacher is and I'll give you $1,000,000. Chapter 24. Fallen for someone else. Callista didn't respond, quietly pulling his ankle up. Her palms became warm and she placed them on two acupoints of his ankle, massaging as she said, "You're looking for someone to treat your younger brother." Jared was startled and pulled out another dagger from his back, aiming it at Callista. But Callista was faster than him, and she used her hands to give a good twist. The loud snap of the bones being snapped back into place was heard, and the pain made Jared take a breath of cold air, giving Callista time to take away his dagger. She raised her eyebrows and said checkily, "You have quite a number of weapons on you. Who the hell are you?" Jared peered at her, trying hard to endure the pain. There were very few people who knew about his younger brother. How could she have known? Callista clicked her tongue a few times and said, "Has Mr. Sinclair forgotten already? Last night you were at the party at the Fairchilds, and even though you left early, we have met before." "You are," Jared frowned. His memory was pretty good, but strangely enough, after thinking through all the people he had met the night before, he couldn't remember who Callista was. Callista blinked and then suddenly lowered her head and put on a wooden and sullen expression. Jared slash opened his eyes in shock and said in disbelief, "You're Callum's fiance." No wonder she knew some of these secrets. Jared felt very confused. Callista lifted her head. She did not like being labeled like that. "My name is Callista, and the Staffords have been royal doctors for 9 generations. Since my father didn't want to be a doctor, I learned everything from my grandfather, so I don't actually have any teacher. If you want, you can hire me, otherwise you can look for someone else. But I'm not sure if your brother is able to wait for long." Callista then used the dagger to cut the bed sheet, using it to tie the dagger to his ankle. He could deal with the rest the next day. Initially, Jared was angry that this woman dared to curse his brother. But when he watched her bandage his ankle, somehow that anger dissipated. When her head was lowered like that, there was a gentleness about her. But Jared was well aware that the moment she lifted her eyes, she was as sharp as a knife and very aggressive. What a special woman. "Okay, done, you have one night to think about it." Callista dusted off her hands and stood up. She took Jared's phone out from his jacket and keyed in her bank account number before throwing it back to him. Then she wore the jacket over her bathrobe and looked at him tiredly. "Please transfer $200,000 to my account first thing tomorrow. Also, if Mr. Sinclair wants my medical services, I don't need a lot, just $1,000,000 will do. If you've decided, you can transfer it at the same time. Callista picked up her things and was ready to leave the room, so Jared asked, "It's so late, where do you think you're going?" Callista turned back and glanced at Jared, and said sarcastically, "If not me, Sinclair, I only provide medical services, not sexual services." Jared was taken aback by this, but Callista walked out before he could react. He couldn't help but stroke his chin, thinking, there were so many women who were more than happy to sleep with him, but this girl couldn't wait to leave. He had heard about how she loved Callum more than anybody else, so was that why she had no feelings for other men? The rain had stopped. When Callista walked out, the night breeze carried some droplets of water, and the cold made her more clear-eyed. It had been more than 30 hours since she woke up in this new life, and she hadn't slept a wink. Her body was now very tired. What she didn't know was that a Bugatti Veyron was parked for a long time not far from the motel. After leaving the police station, Callum did not return to the office, but went to investigate what happened the year he had nearly drowned. 9 years had passed and it was hard to find anything, so even though he was very angry, there was nothing he could do about it. Callum thought of clarifying directly with Mirabelle, but then he could only think of that moment that when Callista kissed him, and how her eyes were full of sorrow, pain, and despair, and he gave up idea. No, she had liked him for so many years, how could she bear to let him go? So Callum wanted to see Callista. This thought drove him to bang on the Staffords' door late at night, startling Yelena. When Yelena heard that he was looking for Callista, she stuttered something like Callista often didn't come back the entire night and she didn't know where Callista was. Callum could see that she seemed to be hiding something, so he went ahead and checked the CCTVs along the street and found out that Callista had come back, but didn't go into the house, instead getting into Wyatt's car. Wyatt was very puzzled when he received Callum's call. Everyone knew Callum didn't like to see Callista. Wyatt thought, there was no harm in my telling him since Callista is his fiancée. Callista laughed in her annoyance, her bright eyes gleaming coldly as she put her hands on the lowered car window, looking down at him. I've already returned the token of marriage to the Fairchilds. What else do you want? Can't you just get lost from me? Chapter 25. I will fulfill one request of yours. Her attitude was aggressive, but Callum merely smirked and asked her in return, and who do you think you are? What right do you have to order me around? Callista suddenly became silent. Indeed, what right did she have? Seeing Callista had suddenly gone quiet, Callum started to regret what he said. He had not come here to pick a fight with her. So he softened his tone and said awkwardly, "Get in, we haven't cleared up everything between us." "What else isn't clear yet?" Callista asked coldly. "Everything." Callista scoffed. She wanted to hear what he still had to say. She walked over to the other side, opened the door and sat in the front passenger seat. With a cold expression she said, "Okay, spit it out. What do you want?" Callum felt that this was not a good place to talk, so he stepped on the accelerator and headed for his own residence in the city area, and took the time to clear the messy thoughts inside his head. Callista didn't say anything. Given how much Callum disliked her, she wasn't afraid that he'd do anything to her. The car sped into Haven Rock Island that was in the middle of Horrington, The little island spanning merely 20,000 square feet belonged to the Fairchilds, and besides the Fairchild Manor outside the city center, Callum normally lived on Haven Rock Island. There was only one road leading in and out of the island, and there was only one bungalow on it. By the time the large metal gates opened, Callista's emotions had calmed down. She didn't know why, but every time she looked at Callum, she would lose control of her emotions, and she hated this feeling. After getting out of the car, the servants quietly took their leave. Callista looked at the light reflected in the lake not far from the house and asked coldly, "Can we talk now? What did you discover? And what do you want to do?" Callum shot her a glance and asked a completely unrelated question instead. "Who were you with in the motel just now?" Callista stared back at him strangely. "What has that got to do with you?" Callum's eyebrow twitched at this. "Do you really have to talk to me like this?" He frowned. "If I wasn't sure that you really are Callista, I'd have thought someone swapped bodies with you." Callista's heart suddenly skipped a beat. She looked back at the lake and replied coldly, "Don't talk as if you know me very well. If you don't get to the point, then I must get going." "Wait!" Callum called out after her when he saw her turn to leave. Now Callista was like a cactus, full of thorns, and on full defense mode. The old Callista was more adorable. "I went to investigate the things you mentioned earlier today. But it's been too long, so nothing turned up." Callista didn't care. After today, it didn't matter who Callum liked and who he disliked. Her apathetic reaction made Callum suddenly feel a discomfort in his heart. She used to like him so much, but now she didn't seem to care whether he existed or not. Was she too heartbroken to feel anything? He suddenly said, "But I thought about it, even so, I shouldn't have treated you like that. So I'd like to make it up to you. Tell me what you want." The details of what happened in the past remained unclear, but from the moment when Callista kissed him earlier, the look in her eyes made it unlikely for him to hate her like before. That look in her eyes was unforgettable, and the empty feeling in his heart made him think of compensating her. Callista looked at him curiously. Given the power and wealth of the Fairchilds, compensation to be offered must be very generous. She smiled. "Can you tell me what you're going to do about Mirabelle?" In her previous life, Callum did anything that Mirabelle asked for. Mirabelle is a very good actor. Callum probably feels something for her too. When the time comes for him to get married, his first choice will be Mirabelle, thought Callista, but she died before this came to pass. Callum frowned when he heard Mirabelle's name. Even though there was no conclusion to the matter yet, somehow he didn't like hearing any mention of her. "I'll interrogate her when she's back," Callista laughed. If Mirabelle were willing to admit to this, she wouldn't have done this in the first place. Callum remained silent. Without any concrete evidence, 9 out of 10 people would believe Mirabelle. That was how successfully she had built up her image and reputation. Callista didn't want to have anything to do with Mirabelle anymore, but for him, she felt that she had to tear that mask off Mirabelle's face. There's another way to find out what sort of person Mirabelle really is. "How?" Callum asked seriously. "Fame is called Waterfront Serenade, and the idea for that dance was stolen from a dancer named Zandra Summers. It's easy to investigate this because Zandra is always by her side. She poisoned him so he can't speak anymore. Once you investigate this matter properly, you will know what sort of person Mirabelle is. Also, bring Zandra to see me." Callum started to think, if everything Callista said was true, then the image that Mirabelle had built up for so long of being pure and kind would collapse in an instant. "Why? Can't bear to? Or you think I'm spouting nonsense? Mirabelle didn't plagiarize and didn't poison others," Callista asked mockingly. "That's not it?" Callum stuck his chin out slightly as he glared back at Callista. "I just find it strange. If you have so many people's weaknesses in your hands, why do you wait till now to say it? Last night you said you heard those two men confess how they committed their crimes. Who are you trying to fool?" "Callista, what else are you hiding?" Callista pursed her lips, realizing she had been too hasty. She only wanted to expose Mirabelle's dirty deeds, but did not expect Callum to suspect her. "You just need to agree to do this. Don't ask so much." Callum could see she was putting on a strong front and snorted. "And this attitude of yours, before what happened last night, you still looked at me with love. But now you seem to look at me with disdain." He did agree that he had gone too far the night before, but it couldn't be that she had forgotten all her love for him, right? He was sharper than she thought. Callista pulled the jacket around her higher up to cover more of her head. "You're asking too many questions. Mr. Callum, I'm very tired. Either you arrange for me to sleep in a room here, or send me back to the city center." Callum was still glaring at her, but since she was tired, he let it go and said, "I will go and check what you said, but as I said earlier, you can ask one thing of me, and you haven't told me what you—" Callista laughed in a low voice. Her laughter contained indescribable sorrow pain, but after listening closely, it was filled with only loneliness. "I want to be your wife." Callum got a shock. "Was that what you wanted to hear?" Callista looked at him, her expression difficult to read. "Since when did you care about what I want? That I don't stick to you anymore makes you interested in me." Callum scoffed and laughed as he replied casually, "And so what if that's the case? Your personality now is way more interesting than before." Chapter 26. Billion-dollar deal. "Then you have to be careful." Callista looked down and hid her face in the dark. "It's very dangerous to be interested in a woman. I can tell you now that if you fall for me, it won't be a pleasant experience." Callum couldn't help but laugh. "You seem very confident of yourself." "Don't worry, I didn't fall for you for more than 10 years, it will be impossible in the future." Callista unexpectedly nodded in agreement and said hoarsely, "You're right, never mind 10 odd years. Even if I give you another 10 odd years, you won't fall for me. I was just kidding earlier, don't worry. I know myself for some reason." Callum could tell the bitterness in Callista's face. He suddenly felt a bitterness in his heart too, the feeling so quick and so urgent, it made him upset about what he just said earlier. Callista opened her eyes again. Since Callum was so sincere, and she was so disadvantaged now, wasn't it a good chance to gain some advantage? So she suddenly said, "I don't need compensation, but I think we can strike a deal." Callum put aside the confused and messy thoughts and asked in a serious voice, "What sort of deal?" Callista replied, "I know you've always wanted to expand into the pharmaceutical industry, but you haven't found anyone brilliant enough to compete or surpass other companies' formulas and talents. But I can do that. We can have an agreement within 3 years. I'll help your pharmaceutical company become a global competitor worth billions of dollars, and you will only have to do one thing for me. What she just described sounded like an impossible dream, and Callum wanted to laugh at her for being too ambitious. But when he saw the seriousness in Callista's eyes, he stopped breathing for a moment. What do you want me to do? Callum couldn't help but ask. Callista curled her lips into a smile, exuding a different sort of elegance in the night sky. I want to be the Fairchild's goddaughter, a proper one, with actual power. Give me 3 years and I'll have a billion-dollar company for you. Do we have a deal? If it were any other person standing in front of Callum, he would definitely not listen to this babbling. Crazy, but since it was Callista, she made him consider her proposal very seriously, even though it sounded impossible. $1 billion isn't something you earn by just saying. Why should I believe that you can do it? Callum's eyes sharpened since Callista refused to make any requests and wanted to strike a deal instead. Then he would follow the process of making a deal instead. He wanted to see how Callista was going to persuade him, since being the goddaughter of the Fairchilds was already worth billions in itself. Callista rubbed her fists together and started walking towards him. Because the Staffords have been palace doctors for 9 generations, because their skills have been passed down to me, and these are skills that nobody else has. Callista lifted her head, her wet hair drawing wavy lines on her face, exuding a merciless sort of beauty. Well, if you don't believe me, I can prove it. Just as she finished saying this, her expression suddenly focused, and the silver needle she prepared in her hand suddenly pierced right into Callum's chest with incredible speed. Callum took a step back, holding his chest in shock and staring at her. In the next moment, he could feel heat from his chest, and even though he tried to find it a few times, the needle had simply disappeared. What the hell did you do? Callista suddenly stumbled but managed a smile. Don't worry. This is a heart needle and will be naturally expelled from the body after a month. But during this 1 month, you will be very energized, your senses heightened. Before she could finish speaking, she suddenly collapsed. Her body was already so tired, yet she still used such a difficult acupuncture technique, and it used up all the energy left in her. Callum got a shock and held her in his arms. What's wrong? Callista weakly leaned on him. He smelled like sunshine, and she could only smell it at this distance. She looked up at him, and even though she was becoming short of breath, her hand still managed to hold onto his shirt collar tightly, as if she was holding onto a rope that would rescue her from drowning waters. I'm really good. I can do it, Callum, believe me. Just believe me this once. Her voice was very cold, and even though she was trying her best to convince him and persuade him, but Callum could hear crying and perhaps shouting behind her words. His handsome face grew serious, then he quietly said, okay, we have a deal. Callista was elated to hear this. She had never thought it would be this easy to obtain support from Callum. Her lips curled into a smile before she finally fainted. Callum realized her body was very cold and had even fainted, so he quickly called his family doctor to come over to take a look at her. Callum's family doctor was an old man in his 60s named Sean, and was highly skilled, so he didn't need to check much to conclude what happened to her. Overexhaustion, so she's fainted from just lack of energy. I believe she hasn't slept for at least 30 hours. Callern nodded, then started unbuttoning his shirt. Also, can you help to check this? Earlier she stuck a needle in. His long fingers pointed to a red dot on his chest with a strange look on his face, because after Callista inserted that needle, he realized that he suddenly felt awake, and all the tiredness from the day had disappeared, but he wasn't sure if it was because of that one needle. Sean Yancey, the Fairchild's family doctor, initially did not think much of it, but after he realized where the red dot was, he couldn't tear his eyes away. Did you say a needle went in here? Callum nodded and frowned. Slash, is there a problem? Sean leaned forward to take a closer look, and then started clicking his tongue. That's really amazing, this sort of energy locking needle technique has been lost for a long time. Legend has it that this sort of acupuncture can lock a person's energy and protect the heart, so if someone is close to dying, this technique can preserve his life. Wow, I'm really impressed. I thought nobody knew how to do this anymore, but this young lady knows. Such an advanced acupuncture technique, don't worry, this needle will come out by tomorrow. But why did she do this to you? Callum frowned, because what Callista mentioned was not energy locking needle, but heart needle, so he didn't answer the doctor, but asked, then what's heart needle? Do you know anything about this? The old man was stunned by this question. He didn't expect Callum to know this term. He squinted his eyes and thought for a while before speaking. Heart needle is the most advanced of all energy locking needle techniques. Apparently this needle will use the active energy of the acupuncturist to protect the heart of the patient. So during the month that the needle remains inside, even if the patient is severely injured or close to death, he will not die, and it will help to improve blood flow and energy flow, giving the patient an energy boost. But then again, this sort of technique was only written in ancient historical records, and nobody knows if it's real. Besides, in this modern world of medical science, who really has this so-called active energy? Chapter 27. Morning Kiss. Callum was completely stumped, but he didn't say anything because he could feel that the needle that Callista had inserted was indeed that heart needle. She was really so highly skilled? She knew legendary acupuncture techniques? Callum started to feel that the deal she was striking with him wasn't a joke after all, but that she was really able to do it. After Sean left, Callum remained by her bedside and Callista was frowning in her sleep. He instinctively tried to rub away the frown lines between her eyebrows, but she ended up frowning even harder. Callum pursed his hips, and guiltily took back his hand. When Callista was sleeping, she still looked gentle, not like the aggressive, cold, and mocking girl she was earlier. Instead, now she looked demure and fragile. Was she really the one who jumped in to save him? She was already willing to die for him at 9 years old. Callum smiled a little, then flicked Callista's face gently. I don't have any evidence to prove what you said, but I've decided to help you this time. Not for the sake of a billion-dollar deal, but just take it as an apology for everything in the past. I hope you aren't bluffing me. Callista woke up to find herself aching all over, but after practicing her basic techniques on the bed, she felt much better. She didn't really understand why she went all out the night before either, Perhaps people make bad decisions when they're too tired. But then again, Callum unexpectedly agreed to the deal even though that needle was a very powerful one. People without any knowledge of its benefits wouldn't appreciate its real value. As long as he was agreeable, it would be easier to get back at those enemies of hers. In exchange, she was really prepared to bring billions of dollars in for Callum. After taking a bath, she changed into the clothes that were prepared for her and went downstairs calmly. She was surprised that Callum was still around, and his eyes lit up a little when he saw her come down. He just knew Callista would look nice on these clothes when she wasn't being sharp-tongued. Chongsams were very suitable for her elegant aura. Callista pushed her hair behind her ears, revealing her cold, sparkling eyes. Since there was breakfast on the table, she sat down to eat. Callum gracefully held up a cup of coffee and asked with a little bit of interest in his voice. "What's wrong with your eyes?" In the past, Callista always had a thick fringe, so nobody ever saw the sparkle in her eyes, which was like a... Callista's eyes darkened and ignored his question, instead asking, "About what you promised me last night, when can you get it done?" She wanted to become the goddaughter of the Fairchilds, and to complete the process, there would definitely be a banquet of sorts and important people would be invited. This public announcement would enable her to erase that irritating fiancé label, and also make it easier to do what she intended to do. Callum narrowed his eyes, then suddenly broke into a smile. "A month. After a month you can get what you want." Very few people could resist Callum's smile, because he was simply too good looking. He was very arrogant, but then he did have every reason to be. Callista looked down and nodded. Given the importance of the matter, 1 month was quite fast. "Register a pharmaceutical business as soon as possible. Since you've held up your end of the agreement, I will too." Considering how much Callum was worth, $1 billion was a lot of money, but it didn't interest him. He was more interested in Callista. "You don't dare to look at me." The moment he said that, Callista looked up at him coldly, staring at him straight as if he were merely, and Callum didn't know the reason why he wanted to try breaking this cold expression of Callista's. He much preferred the way she used to look at him, that shy and helpless look. "You're very good looking, okay. Can I stop looking at you now?" Callista gave a polite but annoyed smile. Callum felt some displeasure at this reaction, so he suddenly drew close to her. He didn't believe that Callista had no more feelings for him. He had a pair of deep-set upturned almond eyes, and because he had some Caucasian heritage, his features were very sharp and defined, his pupils carrying a little mysterious purplish tinge, plus a tiny mole at his left eye corner. One could only say that this face was a masterpiece, every detail of stunning beauty. This very face once mesmerized her, making her unable to tear her eyes away. When he saw that Callista had gone into a daze, he raised an eyebrow slightly. He knew it, nobody could resist his charm. He curled his lips into a smile. "So, do you still want to stop looking at me?" Callista suddenly also curled her lips into a strange smile, and the next second she leaned over and kissed his thin, light pink lips. The two of them were separated only by a table, and when their eyes met, Callum held his breath. Her lips were very soft and sweet, a sweetness like milk. Callista gently bit his lip, then pulled herself away and asked curiously, "Since you didn't resist, You want me to continue? Callum's eyes darkened, then suddenly he pulled Callista's head towards him and exchanged an even deeper kiss. The amorous air made them both feel warm, and even though they were kissing and there was some feeling stirring within them, they continued to stare stubbornly at one another, one pair of eyes like fire, the other like ice. Callista suddenly pushed Callum away, clenching her teeth as she asked in a cold voice, "What is this? Don't you hate me anymore?" Callum licked his lips and continued staring at her lips as if he had gotten enough yet, but he spoke as if she didn't mean anything to him, "Yet I still do, but why would I allow anyone to just take advantage of me like that?" Callista snorted, so he just wanted to have the final say. The doorbell rang, and Callista could hear the servants outside greeting the guest. "Mr. Shang? Are you here to fetch Miss Stafford?" Benedict had come. Callista seemed confounded a moment before going upstairs to fetch her belongings, then walked back down slowly. Callum sat back down at the table. Callista felt that her father wasn't worth Callum coming out to greet him in person, so Callista just thanked the butler and then walked out of Haven Rock Villa with her father. After Callista had left, Callum uncomfortably uncrossed his legs. He never thought that Callista's kiss was so sweet that after just two kisses, he had felt aroused. He was glad that Callista had left. If she found out, she would definitely mock him. Callista didn't think it strange that her father had come looking for her. Callum must have gone to the Shang house while trying to look for her, and Benedict knew that her cell phone was damaged and was uncontactable, so he had to come and pick her up in person. Benedict was relieved not to see Callum, since he didn't like talking to people who were super excellent. He avoided Callum like the plague. Both father and daughter were quiet for some time, then Benedict suddenly spoke, "Callie, have you been overly traumatized by what happened 2 days ago? You've been acting very strangely these couple of days, and your mother is very worried about you," Callista asked in confusion. "Wasn't my mom dead? She spoke to you in a dream." Chapter 28. Callista. Callie. Benedict started getting angry. "Isn't Yelena your mother? Your biological mother passed away when you were very young, and I was very busy with work. If Yelena wasn't at home to look after you, you think you could comfortably go to school every day?" When he saw that Callista continued to smile coldly in silence, Benedict tried to persuade her gently, "Sometimes Yelena says some awful things, but that's just the way she is. Deep down she still loves why you." Callista finally couldn't take it anymore. She looked coldly at Benedict and snapped, "Don't just say that someone loves me. That's demeaning to the word love." Callista. Benedict was furious, but his personality was too gentle, and so even if he was really angry, he couldn't bring himself to say anything really nasty. He merely put on an unhappy expression and said in a dull voice, "Yelena has called a psychiatrist for you. I think she's right. You'd better see one." A cold light flashed in Callista's eyes. "A psychiatrist? That's fast." On the way back, Callista bought a cell phone before they reached the house. Quincy wasn't in, and Yelena opened the door herself. Seeing that Benedict had returned, she started fussing over him like a loving wife, and completely ignored Callista. That was fine with Callista, she didn't need this fake warmth anyway. When she saw that Callista had turned to leave, an evil glint flashed in Yelena's eyes, but she smiled gently and walked over to Callista. Callie, don't leave so quickly. Come over here and say hello to Dr. Larkin. He's one of the best psychiatrists in this country. Callista felt a small shudder down her spine. Dr. Larkin? Jonathan Larkin. She would never forget this scumbag. He had appeared earlier than she expected. Callista walked over to the living room, and there was a man standing there smiling, his face full of gentleness and politeness. This man, in her previous life, she was locked up in the house and was in deep despair. Back then Yelena had also found a psychiatrist for her, and it was this man, Jonathan. He was a psychiatrist all right, but he was also a famous pervert. He tried to seduce her, but failed. So he got her drugged to rape her. If she hadn't threatened to jump down from her room, he would have gotten his way. But this was not the end of it. He was in cahoots with Yelena much earlier. Yelena had installed hidden cameras in Callista's room, and Jonathan helped to release the footage online the next day, so all the major websites had nude videos of her. The video was titled "Heiress of XX Company Just Out from a Bath," and Benedict nearly had a stroke when he found out. Callista had a pretty face and a good figure, so even though Benedict tried to take the videos down, the videos just couldn't stop circulating. Jonathan had taken Yelena's money and run overseas, so Yelena just pretended to cry and said she had judged his character wrongly, but what was the use of saying this now? Callista's reputation had already gone down the drain after she had supposedly slept with two men at the Enirkild Familjewindo and New IRCADs and aid. Countless people started to spread rumors about how Callista would sleep with anybody who looked decent, making her a humiliation to the Staffords, and a lowlife among the wealthy daughters of Horrington. Yelena was determined to destroy Callista completely and made the world a horrible place for her to live in, then let Callista be a footstool for her dear daughter. Callista found out about this because she happened to overhear a phone call between Yelena and Jonathan, where Yelena blamed Jonathan for not having sex with Callista, because if the video was a sex tape, then Callista would never be able to make a comeback. This was when Callista realized how deeply evil this mother and daughter really were, and now, this scumbag was right in front of her. What should she do? She started thinking. Hello, my name is Jonathan, your psychiatric consultant. Jonathan was fairly good looking, in his 30s with a pleasant smile, and made people feel at ease with him quickly. Callista ignored the hand he offered, instead snorting with a raised eyebrow, "And who said you're my psychiatrist?" Yelena quickly dragged Benedict over, and said with a worried face, "Callie, don't be scared, Dr. Larkin is really good. Your current state is very dangerous, so he's come all the way to help you. More like my current state puts you in danger, right? Mrs. Stafford." Benedict was unhappy to hear Callista address Yelena as Mrs. Stafford, but Yelena held him back, and continued to smile sympathetically. "No worries, no worries, Callie can call me anything she likes. Callie, take Dr. Larkin to your room and have a good chat with him." Callista knew that there were definitely cameras in her room. This stepmother was so concerned that she couldn't wait for Callista to be alone in the room with a strange man. Callista laughed and said, "You want to be my doctor? Sure, get me a cup of tea." Benedict was unhappy when he heard this. "Callie, that's very rude of you. Dr. Larkin is a guest. Jonathan waved his hands to indicate that it was all right, then after a discreet exchange of glances with Yelena, he continued smiling and said, "Don't worry about it, all girls this age are a little rebellious, I can understand." He quickly poured a cup of tea out for Callista. Callista took the cup from him, and gave a little smile, "You're absolutely right. Girls at my age are not just rebellious, but also very temperamental." She threw the water in the cup at Jonathan. Yelena gasped and Benedict started shouting at her, but somehow Jonathan did not lose his temper. There was a flash of anger in his eyes, but he managed to keep smiling. "So can I be Ms. Stafford's psychiatrist now?" He put on a caring face and said seriously, "I really want to help you." Most people would have softened when they saw Jonathan had such a sincere face, but to Callista, he was merely hilarious. "Just a bit more." Callista curled her lips into a smile and then bent down to pick up the teapot, and splashed the contents of the teapot in his face. She felt much better when she saw the tea leaves sticking to his face. This time Jonathan was really angry, he had never felt insulted like this before. Yelena quickly rushed over to help Jonathan clean up, and also mouthed "I'll add money" at him. Jonathan held it in for the sake of this additional fee, but Benedict couldn't hold it in. "Callista? Have you gone crazy?" Benedict was so angry that the finger he used to point at Callista was trembling. He'd never lost his temper like this before, but Callista was just too rude. Who would dare to be a guest in his house anymore? Callista remained strangely calm, smiling as she glanced at Jonathan, then quietly said, "Dad, you don't get it, do you? I thought psychiatric consultants were able to feel the pain of their patients. I splashed tea in his face, but I'm feeling deep fear and anxiety inside and I really need help. I believe Dr. Larkin can also feel my pain, and so you won't get angry, right? You're just being unreasonable." Benedict was red in the face from anger, with his teeth clenched. Jonathan still managed to say, "Ms. Stafford is right. Many patients with emotional issues would do things that are the opposite of how they truly feel. I can understand, and I will definitely help you to get well." Chapter 29. The Secret of the Voice Recorder. At these words, Callista smiled demurely and put down the teapot. Just 2 seconds earlier, everyone thought Callista was going to smash the teapot on Jonathan's head, and Jonathan was relieved to see her put the teapot down. "You've passed the test, Dr. Larkin. I'll be a good patient, and I believe you will have wonderful memories of your time with the Staffords." Callista finished with a smile and went upstairs. Since this person was here, then, well, there was plenty of time to deal with him. She checked her bank balance and realized that Jared had acted pretty quickly, and there was really $1.2 million in the bank. This was a huge amount of money to her now, even though she would get fame and fortune after becoming the Fairchild's goddaughter. She always remembered that Callum still did not like seeing her around, so she had to show some accomplishments first before getting his support, and only then could she get back at her enemies. So she'd have to spend this $1.2 million carefully. But there was something else that was more urgent to settle now. She picked up her phone and called Wanda. After picking up Callista's call, Wanda was pleasantly surprised. She didn't sound like she knew that the two scoundrels arrested that night were instigated by Quincy, otherwise she wouldn't still be this calm and gentle. It was obvious that Wyatt had used his authority to cover up this matter so as to keep the reputations of both the Lynn family and Quincy. Callista smiled and just threw the matter to the back of her mind. She didn't intend to use what happened that night to confront Quincy. After all, once the truth of the matter was revealed, all people cared about was whether that night's plan had worked or not, and wouldn't think about anything else, so she decided to let Quincy off for the time being. She had called Wanda over a different matter. Mrs. Fairchild, while running away from those bad guys, I dropped my phone in the compound of the Anixa. Could you help me look for it? I have something very important inside. Wanda immediately agreed. This was the first time Callie had asked anything of her. Callista laughed and her tone was much gentler now. I'll come over now, okay? It's really important, sorry to trouble you. This small matter was no trouble at all. Wanda immediately ordered the servants to go out and find it, and promised that she would have found it by the time Callista arrived. Callista breathed a sigh of relief. Callum should still be in the office, so she should be in time to find it before him. Recorder on her cell phone, forgetting that while there was indeed a recording of Mirabelle asking her to make an aphrodisiac, there were many other recordings. When she thought about these other recordings, she became perplexed and ran out of the door. Over at Fairchild Manor, at the time Wanda had ordered the servants to find the phone, the butler had already passed the inconspicuous voice recorder to Callum, who had just arrived home. Callum had come back early just for this voice recorder. Callista said that she wasn't the one who drugged him, and Mirabelle had approached her to make an aphrodisiac, so he had to at least confirm that part. But before he could listen to anything, he heard that Callista had arrived. When Callista realized what was in Callum's hands, she felt that she was about to explode. Her sparkling eyes grew wider, then she immediately calmed down. Mr. Callum, that's mine, please return it to me. Callum saw that Callista had run all the way to the Fairchild Manor just for this small thing, and a cheeky smile spread over his perfectly handsome face. Isn't this the evidence you provided me with? You've rushed all the way here in such a great hurry. Is it because you're hiding some other secrets inside here? Callista walked nearer to him, trying to catch her breath as she said, there are some results of my research over the years inside as well, and these are all confidential information. I was too rash yesterday and forgot about those. As for evidence, it's just a short recording and can't prove much. That's not necessarily true, Callum haughtily raised a brow. Without this recording, there will be nothing stopping me from suspecting that you're definitely the one who drugged me. You don't want to prove your innocence anymore. Callista pursed her lips and hesitated before hoarsely shouting, I don't care what you think, just give it back to me. Callum saw that this was a rare show of her emotions, and taunted her, come and get it. Callista saw that all the servants had left the living room, so she forward to snatch it out of Callum's hand. Didn't she restrain herself and took two steps. Callum was prepared for this, so he just pulled his arm back out of her reach. Callista had lunged forward too hard and ended up landing in his arms. Callum instinctively caught her round her waist. If you're so anxious, then I'd think you have some dirty secrets inside. Or perhaps, something to do with me. Callista's face immediately turned to ice, shouting, give it to me. She had tremendous strength, and Callum was caught off guard and was pushed onto the sofa. But Callum was still stronger than her, so he grabbed her and exchanged positions with her, so now she was under him, and he pressed down hard on her. This sudden closeness made Callum start to feel warm again, but Callista did not feel the same at all, struggling to try to snatch the voice recorder back. "Stop it, enough," Callum frowned, and the cold fragrance from Callista went up his nostrils and became fire. When he saw her tender red lips just inches from him, he suddenly felt the urge to kiss her again. Damn it. Perhaps he should really find a woman. Seeing that he was suddenly in a daze, Callista took this chance to snatch the voice recorder, but Callum dodged her attack in time. But in the process, Callista had hit a button on the recorder and suddenly there was sound coming out from the recorder. 7th January, I saw him again. He's so good looking, shining like the sun. If his light falls on me, it must be really warm, right? That longing voice belonged to Callista, so this voice recorder had Callista's diary entries. This sudden turn of events shocked both of them, especially Callista, who suddenly stopped making a grab for the recorder when she heard this yearning voice. That was the time when she was the most naive. But this one dazed minute would result in her kicking herself for not reacting faster. 9th March, I saw him again. Callum's lips are so pretty, I wish I could lick them, I think they would taste like honey. These shy yet sensual words suddenly shocked Callista awake. She had unfortunately opened the playlist of recordings about Callum. And the contents of the recordings. The moment she started making a move, Callum moved too. He put on a wide smile, shining like the sun. "Oh ho, so you wanted to forcibly kiss me from so long ago. I never knew you were so lecherous." Callista wasn't in the mood to joke with him. She was going to destroy this evidence, now. Seeing that her reaction was so violent, Callum used his body weight to press Callista down on the sofa and used one hand to press both her hands above her head. Callista was surprised at how strong Callum was, but this was not important now. The bigger problem now was that the D**ned recordings were still playing. "I heard that husband and wife would share the same bed, and do what the biology textbooks describe. Will I do that with him in the future too?" Chapter 30. Return it to me. Callum was stunned for a while, then he broke out in laughter. "Callista, I'm really interested to know which biology textbook taught you this sort of thing." Callum's mocking laughter made Callista's usually cold face turn bright red. "Argh. Return it to me." Perhaps because she was too agitated, she suddenly felt a burst of energy and she managed to turn both of them around, and pressed down on Callum instead. But Callum's arms and legs were too long, and the voice recorder remained out of reach. He started laughing loudly, his eyes shining brighter and brighter. "So these are the dirty thoughts of a young girl? What else is there? Having children with me." Just as he said so, the recordings reached that topic. "If I have a child with him, the child will definitely be really good looking, right? Sigh, when can I marry him?" Callum's expression became even checkier, and he opened his mouth to mock her even harder when Callista took courage and suddenly bent down to jam that foul mouth of his. Time suddenly stopped. Callista took the chance as he suddenly went into a daze. She finally took the voice recorder from his hands and shut it off. Her kiss made his heart stop, and her fragrance continually filled his body, and those small and soft lips, it was just a kiss, but he started feeling aroused again. Callum was afraid she'd realize this, so he turned Callista over again and knelt directly on her. He was suddenly filled with anger, looking down at the bold woman below him and suddenly laughed. "You like to kiss? Fine. I'll satisfy your wish." Then he pressed down hard on her lips, kissing her possessively and sucking the breath out of her. His passion made them exchange breaths, entangled with one another. Callista's eyes suddenly opened wide. Callum had taken the initiative to kiss her? No, it couldn't be, it was a counter-attack like this morning. Anyway, she had gotten what she wanted already, why should she be subject to his bullying? She tried to get up, but Callum caught hold of her hands. She tried to move her legs, but they were stuck too. She could only lie there as Callum forcibly kissed her, and all the struggling and resisting only made him kiss her harder. She didn't want any of this. Callista turned her head away and angrily said, "Let go of me. Don't you hate me? Who said you can kiss me?" Callum was annoyed at her refusal to cooperate. Her kiss was so sweet and she smelled so good. Besides, she was the one who kept challenging him, so why couldn't he attack her back? Chapter 30 Return it to me. Only you can forcibly kiss me, but I can't do that to you. Why? He came down hard on Callista's lips and used one hand to keep her head from turning aside, the rest of his body pressing down on her so she couldn't escape. Did kiss her T. Callista was furious. Why even he hated her? Did he think she was still an easy target to bully like before? A fierce look flashed in Callista's eyes and she stopped struggling for a while. Then she used her limbs to climb onto him, stunning Callum. Callista then grinned as she hooked both arms around his neck and dragged him into a strange dance. "You want to kiss me so much? Then I'll let you kiss to death." Since Callum hated her so much, she was sure Callum would hate her more if she took this initiative. She wanted to disgust him to death. This sort of French kissing was a first for both of them. Callista's immature but domineering position completely destroyed Callum's reasoning power. He grabbed Callista's waist even tighter, and suddenly a fire was lit in his previously dark eyes. Callum felt himself really aroused, and he pushed her aside, slightly embarrassed. Both of them panted as they glared at each other, neither wanting to give in. "What? You don't want to kiss anymore? Or you want to go one level further?" Callista taunted him by pretending she didn't care. He just pushed her away like that. Looks like he really did hate her very much. But Callista didn't expect that. Her words sounded more like an invitation to Callum. He narrowed his eyes at her, then suddenly ripped open two buttons of his shirt, and threatened, "You asked for it? I'll give it to you." He bit on Callista's lips, and this time Callista did not hold back and bit him right back. Both of them were trying to get the upper hand, but they held each other tighter and tighter, their breathing heavier and heavier, and Callista occasionally whimpered in pain, sending chills down Callum's spine. He began to lose control of himself, ready to take her there and then on the sofa. Callista started to feel that something was wrong, and this strange longing was taking over her body, sucking the energy out of her, and she felt weak and limp. So irritating. Did Callum have to go this far just to get back at her? What are the two of you doing? Wanda's furious voice suddenly snapped the two of them back to reality. What were they doing? Callum immediately got up, and Wanda's expression turned from anger to vexation when she realized the other person was Callista. What has she done? Wanda thought, she thought Callum was with another woman, but it turned out to be Callie. This pleasant surprise made Wanda suddenly forget all the conservative things she originally meant to say. She slowly started taking a step backwards as she said, "It's all right, I didn't know it was the both of you, carry on. Carry on. I didn't see anything." Callista felt her face on fire, and Callum was glaring even more angrily at his mother. Wanda began to feel that her son was angry because she had interrupted him at a bad time and became apologetic, but still quietly said in embarrassment before walking away, "Oh my, the young people these days are really crazy." After she walked away, Callista got up from the sofa and turned to leave, but Callum grabbed her hand. "What, you're leaving just like that?" Callista shot him a dirty look. Her face was still red, and her glare actually made Callum go weak at the knees. "If not, Mr. Callum is so thirsty, you want to continue even with someone you hate." Callum's Adam's apple trembled and he clenched his teeth in silence. He really did want to continue DMN it, he thought. Did Callista drug him or something? Callista had pushed his hand away and coldly continued, "I hope you can go and explain to Mrs. Fairchild that what she saw was a misunderstanding. I want to be the Fairchild's goddaughter. I don't want her to have any false hopes." Callum sourly thought, "You're kinder to my mom than to me." He was annoyed at this point and didn't want to go along with Callista. "Misunderstanding? You go tell her yourself. Tell her how you've been seducing me again and again." Callista's face grew colder. "Seduce? If you didn't want it, how could I seduce you? Or have you become addicted after just one kiss and you don't want to draw the line clearly with me anymore?" Callum arrogantly harumphed, "Why do you care?" There was no point in continuing this conversation. Callista held her silence for a while, then turned and left. On the way back, she thought to herself that earlier he didn't seem to be faking it, and Callista closed her eyes. "Callista, please. Have you forgotten how cruel this man was to you in your previous life? He didn't fall for you after more than 20 years, and you want to fall into the same trap this time round.